Glory, glory, glory. God is good, is he not? He is. As you know, typically when I get here in the morning, I'll have a little bit of quiet time in my office just to kind of go over things and listen. And the Lord put this on my heart this morning in Matthew chapter 11, verse 26. Well, let's go 27 out of the Amplified. Matthew 11:27. It says, "All things have been entrusted and delivered to me by my Father. And no one fully knows and accurately understands the Son except the Father. And no one fully knows and accurately understands the Father except the Son." Now, if you stopped right there, we'd be in trouble. But he goes on to say, "And anyone to whom the Son deliberately wills to make him known." And I believe that he is deliberately making himself known to us today. And then if you go on in 28, says, "Come to me." Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls." Anybody need refreshed today? "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, it's useful, it's good, it's not harsh, it's not hard, it's not sharp or pressing, but it is comfortable, it is gracious and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne." Come. Can we come to him this morning? Can we come to Jesus this morning and just get rid of everything that has been burdening us for this week, this month, this year, your life? Can we just come and lay it down and take up his yoke, which is light? Can we do that today, church? I just pray that you come today with ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And you come and you lay down your burdens at the foot of the cross and just give them up. Give them over to Jesus. He's already borne them. He's borne your griefs and your sorrows. He's borne your sickness and your pain. He's taken care of it. Let us have a revelation of that today. So as words are being sown into your heart, they're taking root, they're being grounded firmly, firmly, deeply rooted. And as we go throughout the days ahead, those words will begin to spring up life on the inside of you and replace those things that have burdened you. Glory, glory, glory. How many enjoyed seeing Pastor Rob and Tricia last week? It was a blessing to have them in town. And always is. I know they're doing great things from their home base in Florida now, but this will always be home to them. But they're in a temporary home down there, I say. Not temporary as most would think in Florida for winter time. Anyways, all right. He's the one that said Q-tips, not me. But I think the only ones. No. But he did give us some instruction, didn't he? And I just want to recap a couple things. Really, one main point. I mean, he covered a lot, talked about some different things about this house and things for this house. But what really impressed me was those three words that he ministered on. Anybody remember them? Prepare. Pursue. They all start with P. I'll give you a hint. And possess. Prepare, pursue, and possess. Now, how many in here can tell me what the ABCs of sales is? ABCs of sales. Nobody? Always be closing. Always be closing. If you're in any kind of sale background, if you have any sales background, that's one thing that I just, you know, recall from my training. Always be closing. What does that mean? Always be selling. Always be closing. Always be moving towards getting them to make that purchase. You're like, come on, Pastor Todd, this is a church now. You know how many times I've been ripped off by salesmen? No, listen. If you believe as a salesman in your product, and you believe that your product will make a difference in someone's life, there's nothing wrong with to always be closing. Because it's going to benefit them. And you may be able to see it, they just can't. You got to get them to see it, right? Okay. Am I losing y'all? If you believe in the product, again, you're a salesman, you believe in your product, you believe it'll benefit that person, so you're always trying to close that person to buy your product. Let's take that over into the spiritual realm. Isn't that how it should be with Christianity? Yes. Do you believe in the product?
Yes.
Do you believe it has the ability to change someone's life and make it better?
Then
you should always be closing on Jesus in your life. No matter where you go, what you do, if you will point to Messiah,
amen,
it has the ability to change someone's life forever. Forever. Amen? Well, a good salesman has all three of those traits that Pastor Rob was talking about. Prepare, pursue, and possess. They prepare by knowing their products, by identifying their target markets, by researching market conditions, and by perfecting their pitch. That's all in the preparation of a salesman. In fact, when I worked at Southwestern Companies, door-to-door sales, y'all have heard me talk about how I loved going door-to-door and selling products. Now, don't y'all hold this against me, but Jimmy Buffett has a song that talks about door-to-door salesmen and the pain of those bells ringing, okay? There's an anxiety that comes upon you when you walk up on that front stoop, but that's what they teach you to overcome. But and the preparation, the thing that triggered my mind back to those days is finding out your clients and who they are. I would go to a door, and if they were friendly, if they were nice, I would ask them, who's your neighbor? You know, who lives next door? Who's that across the street? Get names, you know, how many kids they got. Man, if you did that today, oh gosh, this was like 30 years ago, okay? If you did that today, what do you want to know about my neighbors for? What do you want to know about their kids for? But we would. And I had a notebook, and I would write this information down. And we had a motto, the Marines have that motto, leave no man left behind. Isn't that what it is? We say, leave no door left behind. We're to bang on every door regardless. But back in those days, that's how I would prepare. I would get to know my market conditions, my customers or potential customers that were around, get to tailor your message toward them because you would know something about them because your neighbors just revealed all about you. But how many of y'all got good neighbors like that? Would tell everything about you. Not many these days. But that's one way we would prepare as a salesman. That's one of the preparing. And then you pursue, right? You pursue after all those markers that you just identified. You would pursue. You would go after them. And once you identify them, once you prepared your pitch, your market analysis, all that, then you would pursue and go after that. You would go after that. And then all to just possess the prize, which is the sale. Well, the problem with a lot of salesmen is they pursue well, but they don't do the other two very well. You got a lot of wannabe salespeople out there that are all about numbers. Pursue, pursue, pursue. Talk to as many people as you can. But pursuing is the easy part. The real effort for salesmen comes from the preparation and the possession of the sale. A seasoned salesman hates to see a green pea out there burning through all their leads at 1% or 2% convert rate when they're saying, if you gave me that same bag of leads, I'd be converting 20%. What does this have to do with Christianity? I'm going to tie it all in. When they know that those same leads, they could get 10 to 20% closure rate. And why? Why are they able to do that? Because they have taken the time to know their products inside and out. They know how to tailor their pitch. And they're always ABC-ing. They're always closing. Always closing. Always, always asking for the buy. Asking for the purchase. And listen. When you go to buy your next item, I don't care if it's a stove, a car, anything like that, listen to your salesman. And just, you'll be able to determine whether they're going to, when are they going to ask for the buy? When are they going to be asking you to purchase? It'll always be there. One little telltale sign. I'm going to give you a little inside nugget. They will always ask for your agreement on unrelated matters. Oh, it's a beautiful day out, isn't it? Yes. Isn't this the nicest car you've ever driven? Yes. Doesn't that suit feel so... Feel it. Doesn't that suit feel good? Yes. Why, yes. See, they've got you saying yes 20 times before the actual pitch of the sale comes. It's amazing to see salesmen that learn their product, give an amazing pitch. So they've prepared. They've pursued. But then they don't possess. They don't ask for the purchase. They don't ask for the buy. They don't ask for the PO. I think sometimes, as born-again believers, called to the ministry of reconciliation, we do that. We do that. But doing that, it'd be like David. Remember David and his mighty man? Reggie shared a little bit about that last week. It'd be like them going after that company that burned their village, stole their wives and their cows, catching up to them and slaughtering them all, and then turning around and going home and leaving their wives and cows and the spoil of the enemy behind. When you don't ask to possess, you don't ask for the buy, you don't ask someone to give their life to Jesus, all that other is wasted time. The ask. The best salesmen close the deal or possess the sale. The best Christians ask. In fact, the best Christians possess all that God has for them. But most Christians are satisfied with simply pursuing after Christ, just like those green pea salesmen. I believe most Christians are satisfied with pursuing after Christ. And you know what that looks like to me, and this is a stretch maybe for you. That looks a lot like works. Most Christians are satisfied with coming to church on Sunday. Most Christians are satisfied with being a good person. Most Christians are satisfied right there. But like those green salesmen, I believe a lot of Christians don't take the time to prepare by spending time in the Word, by spending time in prayer, They don't prepare their heart. They don't. And if remember what you put in is what is going to come out. So if you're not preparing yourself by putting the word in, it's not going to come out when it needs to. They don't take the time to prepare their hearts and minds by studying the Word of God. And they won't, you won't take possession of what is already yours. Healing. Prosperity. Wholeness. Sound mind. Freedom. It is all bought and paid for. It is yours already. No. They'd rather run around the mulberry tree a million times, chasing after the same thing but never able to catch it, when in truth it's already yours. It is already yours. It's like that dog. How many of y'all had puppies? And for the life of me, I don't know why they chase their tail all the time. Our new black lab, she's a year old and still chasing her tail. There it is. I'm going after it. I'm going to get it. That's like Christians pursuing, but not preparing, not possessing. Chasing after what is already theirs. Their tail is attached to their body. It's already theirs. But they're trying to catch it. Lord. Do I need to do another visual? You want me to get on my hands and knees this time? But we Christians who don't understand righteousness, we've been talking a lot about righteousness, right? Our right standing with God through Christ. If we don't understand righteousness, we're doing the same thing. We're running ourselves ragged trying to pursue Christ when we already possess Him. He is our head. The head of the church. The head of the body. The head of you, hopefully. He's the head. He's not the tail. And there's nothing wrong. Listen, there's nothing wrong with pursuit. We hear that. Pursuing Christ. There's nothing wrong with pursuit, but it must be accompanied by preparation in the Word and possession of Jesus. Taking ownership of what is ours by His blood, by His shed blood. What is rightfully ours, it is rightfully ours. But we don't want to put in the effort to prepare sometimes. We don't want to spend time in the Word. We don't want to spend time in prayer. We have to know what is ours first, right? How are you going to know? Unless you spend time with Him. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you. Unless you spend time reading His Word. Seeing what the promises are. And we don't want to close the deal by taking ownership or possessing what is rightfully ours by the shed blood of Jesus. Our right standing with the Creator of the universe. Our joint heirship with Jesus. Our authority in this earth. As a born-again believer, you have authority in this earth through Jesus. The same authority that Jesus walked in, you can walk in. Didn't He say, and you see all these things, and greater things you will do? But we'd rather pursue. Be like them Israelites wandering around in the desert for 40 years. Oh, look at that mountain. That's a beautiful mountain. Whoa. Look at them trees up there. That is a beautiful mountain. How many times have we been around this mountain? I don't know, but it's beautiful. We just keep walking. Did y'all see that dog the other day? Just keep walking. How many Christians spend their life chasing their tails, walking around that same mountain, pursuing? Do you want to be doing that for 40 years? Some of us might not have 40 years left on this earth. But today is the day. I love that scripture. Today is the day of your salvation. Most people take that for being born again, for being introduced to Jesus. But that word salvation is so much more. So much more. It's what we already possess. And when you get a revelation of that, when you get a revelation of your righteousness in Christ Jesus, who you are in Christ. And I know, I feel like I beat this up all the time. Who you are in Christ. Find out who you are in Christ. But it's where the victory is. You don't want to be chasing your tail for 40 more years. So I say let's possess what is already ours. Let's understand as an individual what is already yours. Let's understand as a church body what is already ours. The NRV is already ours. Healing is already yours. Prosperity is already yours. Deliverance from mental problems, it's already yours. Deliverance from grief and sorrow, it is already yours. Deliverance from oppression, things holding you down, it's already yours. Let's possess what is already ours. It's already attached to us. We don't have to keep chasing it. It's already ours. Let's appropriate Christ as the head. Know that you are righteous. Know your authority and operate in it. Understand these things, and we'll be delivered in so many ways. And then, you know, Pastor Rob was talking about church growth and souls and lives being won and changed. And he said we weren't ready for that. I believe we could be ready just like that. I believe that God has called this local body of believers to do tremendous things in the New River Valley. We're a strategic church. We are a place that people can come into and receive relief. Why? Because we believe what the Word says we can have.
And but we believe that they can have it too. Because God is no respecter of persons. Amen. It is awfully quiet. I hope you're pondering. I hope you're chewing. Meditating on the Word. I hope and pray that like a good salesman, that's not State Farm commercial, is it? Like, that's a neighbor. Sorry. Squirrel. Sorry. I was like, like a good salesman, State. No, it's like a good. Y'all help me. What was I even going to say? Like a good salesman. Like a good Christian, prepare, pursue, and possess. Amen? Prepare your heart to receive the Word. Prepare by spending time in His Word. Prepare by spending time in prayer. Just quiet time. Just spend time being quiet and listen. Look, you don't have to be muttering all the time. You don't have to be reading all the time. Sometimes you just got to sit and be still and know that He is God. How many of you can do that? Can just sit and be still and shut off everything around you? Because it's important to be able to do that. And I mean everything. Part of our preparation. And then pursue. Don't forget to, don't neglect to pursue. I'm just saying don't let pursuing be your only thing. Don't neglect the gathering together of like-minded believers. Don't neglect that. Don't neglect speaking, pointing to Messiah, to your neighbors, your friends, co-workers, acquaintances, people out in the marketplace. Don't neglect that. But then also possess what is already yours. Understand your righteousness. Understand your right standing with the Creator of the universe. Understand who you are in Christ. Understand that everything that you've prepared and put into you is yours. And then operate in that. Step out in faith. Oh boy. And operate in those things in your life. Or do you just want it for yourself? Some people are satisfied with just getting it for themselves. Knowing where they're going, their eternal destination, and not sharing it. But it's like a salesman. If you know that your product is a good product, and you know that your product is going to benefit the buyer, then you would be ecstatic about selling that product. I know salesmen, they won't shut up about their products. Ought we not be the same way? Don't we have so much more to offer than a simple product that's going to improve someone's life? We've got the product above all products, Jesus Christ, that is going to change their life. Not just better their life, but change their life completely. So why wouldn't we always be closing? What does Pastor Rob do? One at you, three back at me. He always says four, but I never got that because the thumb's sticking straight up in the air, so it's really only three. always be closing. Always be sharing Jesus. Now, what does that mean? Do you got to go and quote Scripture to everybody you see? No.
Remember, I shared that testimony, and actually Jim McClure shared it with me about an acquaintance of his. I think it was an acquaintance, maybe it was his daughter, out on the trail, and a jogger come by, and I think either she was jogging or he was jogging. She was sitting or he was sitting. Doesn't matter. Shared a smile with him. And they got to conversing. I guess he took a break. And got to share Jesus with them. Just by smiling. Sometimes just your smile can make a difference. Some of y'all need to practice smiling. Just a smile. Just a kind word. A kind gesture. Maybe you give your parking space to that person that was rushing in to take the space you've been waiting on for 5 minutes. Maybe you give it away. I'm stepping on some toes now, I can tell. I can tell. Maybe you go get that shopping cart that's been sitting out in the parking lot and probably put a dent in your door, and you take it up to the marketplace and put it away. So I had this person, woman, said the other day, sorry, come right up. I parked right beside her. Right beside her. She come up, was in obviously in a hurry, took her stuff, groceries out of, was throwing it in the back of her van, shut the door and took off, and that cart started, and it was squeaky wheel, started coming towards my car. I was like, what? Anyways. Great grace. We all need to have a lesson in great grace. Great grace. Spread the love. But you can do that. Listen, you have everything that you have need of to be tremendous, a tremendous voice in this earth. I know a lot of people think that they can't testify. They can't win people to Jesus. They can't quote the Bible. Listen, He's the one that qualifies you, not you. It's not based on your performance. It's not based on your intellect. It's based on the one working in you. Remember when the disciples were going out, and what does it say? It says, the Lord working with them, they were able to perform mighty miracles. The Lord working with you. He's with you. He said He'll never leave you or forsake you. So if you understand that, if you possess that, He is working with you when you go and lay hands on someone and expect the sick to recover. He is working with you when you smile at someone and you create an interaction and then you're able to share the love of God with them. He's working with you in all these things. He is with you. And when we understand that, when we really, really... I mean, we can understand it, right? You can understand what I'm saying. Your intellect can make a mental check. Yes, I understand what you're saying. But when we operate in that, when we have revelation of that, when we actually do that, is when things will change. Amen? Y'all good with that? Anybody want to go into a sales career now? Huh? You're already there. That's right. You're already salesman. We had to read a book. I think I've told you this, but we had to read a book called The World's Greatest Salesman, I think is the name of it. Og Mandino. Yeah, similar. Og Mandino, the world's greatest salesman, and the whole book is, it's training, really. But I'm not, you know what? I'm not going to tell you. I think it's a little tiny book. It's a little tiny book. I think everyone in here should read it. And I'll just clue you in. It's really not about sales. It is, but it isn't. Have I piqued your interest at all? It'll take you 30 minutes. No, I don't know. It might take you longer. There's principles that you're supposed to apply along the way. But if you just read it straight through, you could do it in a day, easy. Probably half a day. Heck, Caleb could do it in 15 minutes. That boy reads so fast. Speed reader. Og Mandino is the greatest salesman in the world. All right, I just got to tell you about it. None of y'all going to go read that book, are you? Huh? It's just principles, sales principles, but it all boils down to, here's the whole thing it boils down to, is pointing to Messiah. Pointing to Messiah, and it comes at the end. I'm going to give the spoiler alert. A man named Saul comes up at the end of this book, and they instill all these principles into this young man named Saul, who becomes Paul, who writes the majority of the New Testament. So, you all have been initiated as great salesmen now. And we are. We really are. Aren't we just selling the gospel? And, you know, selling these days has that negative connotation, I think. But that's all we're doing. We're selling the gospel. I'm trying to get you to buy something that I believe in, that I have, that I want to get to you. Right? But I don't have to discount my price. I don't have to beg, steal, or borrow. Commission. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it reminds me of that song. I forget the guy's name, but he's standing in heaven, and there's this long line of people saying, thank you. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I was the life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. There's your commission. Amen.